Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to a special Sunday edition podcast here at TFMR. And I've got on the line today someone I'd like to introduce to everybody here on the site. It's Ivan Bebek. And Ivan is the chairman of a company called Orin Resources. You may have noticed that we're spending some time here in 2016. I've been working with the folks at Future Money Trends to draw spotlights to certain mining companies, mining shares, because it looks like there may be some opportunity there after all we've been through these last couple of years. And here in the month of March, the sponsor in that space is Orin Resources. And as I mentioned, the head of the company is Ivan Bebek. He's a longtime veteran in the gold mining industry and the sector. And I thought, what a great opportunity to kind of pick his brain about how things have gone last year, this year, and where we may be headed going forward. So with that, Ivan, thank you very much for spending some time with us here today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Ivan, like I said, you've been at this quite a long time, and you've seen the ups and downs of gold. You've seen the ups and downs of the mining shares. Let's start with gold. It's been a rather challenging 3 or 4 years for all of us, but it looked like it kind of washed out and double bottomed at the end of last year, and we've certainly had a strong rally so far in 2016. How you feeling here? Do you think we've turned a corner?
Well, you know what? I completely agree. I do think we've turned a corner, and I've had the luxury of just coming back from New York and Toronto, visiting a lot of the larger gold funds in the world, and I got a chance to quantify that renewed interest that we're seeing. And I got asked a question not long ago about why is this turn different from what we saw in the last 3 to 5 years, you know, in the downturn of gold. And, you know, I saw majors such as Barrick Gold, I saw Newmont, I saw Techcominco, and then some of them provided 100% return since November. Some of them are almost triple since November. And that fact, seeing those kind of returns are generally junior mining stock returns. And if you remember back at the beginning of the downfall, you saw a lot of these majors losing percentages the way a junior miner would lose percentages. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing them have those gains, right? So recently we had a fairly aggressive rally. I call it a violent rally in the golds. And I think that the short covering plus the renewed interest is a major contributor to that. And does this mean that it's on and you should go buy all the gold stocks and that's it? Not necessarily, because there's not going to be a line, it's going to be a chart. But I do certainly know that there's a lot more funds that are coming out back towards the gold space. And, you know, the challenge for them is going to be to find liquidity into some of the better names. And so I'm an investor now as well as a chairman, because we sold our previous company about a year and a half ago. In that bear market, we did well, and it created liquidity. And so I traded the market last year. And what I found a good relationship with was the seasonality of gold. In a bear market or in a bull market, it really doesn't matter. My question wasn't so much, why should gold go up? I think everyone knows the obvious natures of those answers. Negative interest rates in Europe, you know, the bigger macro picture, the debt, you know, you could go on for a while to explain that. But when is gold supposed to go up in the year, and when is it supposed to go down in a rising market or a sinking market? And I had some great returns doing it. But the one thing I took back, which could benefit all your listeners, is that the torque to the upside and the upside moves are higher. And I believe that, and this is 2 years in a row, and I believe that the downside, when gold pulls back, it's not going to be as low as previously. And that's a really good indication as well, outside of the returns in the majors, that the market's starting to go into the right direction. So directionally, I think we have a good maybe 3 to 5 years or longer of a gold market that's just going to start here soon. And, you know, you look at the space and you ask yourself a second question, what's happening with the miners? You know, and what I follow, and there's a gentleman in New York that's well followed, Jeff Christian, one of the gold gurus of New York. He has a mine supply chart that shows mine supplier gold peaking in 2017. Now, normally gold is not a commodity that's a supply and demand one, but when you have macro pictures, you have Germany, you have China buying gold, you have negative interest rates. When these things start to trigger and you get into an issue with supply of gold, you know, when the market's starting to go back towards gold, you can have some pretty exuberant returns on the gold space, and you can get back up to those, you know, very fortuitous gold prices for gold bugs.
It does feel as if, almost from a sentiment standpoint, there's been a turn. And with money flowing out of other sectors in the equity markets, It's as if some money manager is starting to realize, hey, this mining sector doesn't look too bad after the way it's been beaten down after these last 3 or 4 years. Like, Ivan, I mean, you've already taken a couple of companies in your career and built them up and then sold them, and you have this great track record in that regard. As you look at the miners in general, you know, I follow the HUI index, and you can see the rally that it's had. As you look across the board, though, with the miners, do you feel as if, are you seeing that as well? Do you see the turn of the momentum, the flows coming into the sector?
Absolutely, and you ask a great question. And, you know, looking at that space, looking at the turn, the other thing that's going on is a lot of the balance sheets of the miners that had issues with them when gold was at 1900 and they kind of had high costs and everything else,
They've
fixed and cleaned a lot of those. And the actual, you know, PE ratios are coming back in line. And these things are becoming bargains, and they're really good entry points going forward. There's a few left that probably need to clean up, raise a bit of money, you know, to really clean their sheets up. But there's a renewed interest because the valuations of these gold miners has come so parallel with, you know, where they should be. They're not ahead of themselves anymore, and they're becoming a good deal. There's a good discount, right, almost in some of them.
Yeah.
So I see a renewed interest. I personally am a buyer of golds, you know, on a long-term basis, and I'm not the only one. I just came back from the States and New York and Toronto, and there's a lot of interest for people to be back in the golds. And that's the first time I've seen it in 5 years where there's more of an inflow than a concern or a possible outflow. And it's really, really encouraging to see that.
What do you think, Ivan, if you were, because I know there are a lot of folks on my site that, I mean, we've been waiting, and myself included, you know, I've been watching the miners come down. In 2013, I said, why do you even mess around with these things, you know, and the bottom just fell out. But really, it looks now, we put in this floor for about the last 4 or 5 months of 2015. It looked like now we've really turned, we've made some higher highs. Just based off of your experience, if you were trying to pick mining shares, whether it's the seniors or the juniors, I mean, are there a couple of key metrics you think are important now in valuing in evaluating these companies? I mean, if you're trying to pick, well, survivors, but then also winners going forward, I mean, do you look at book value? Do you look at ounces that they have in the ground? I mean, what are the main things you'd look at?
That's another great question. First thing I look at with both sides of the coin of majors or juniors is where are these companies, where are their mines, where are their projects, where are they working? And obviously management's track record is, you know, the number one that goes before that. But jurisdiction is a big thing. And, you know, we sold our company to Agnico Eagle about a year and a half ago. And if you follow their performance, it's probably leading all of the big major miners. I think outside of them running a really good company and providing a lot of growth and being fairly active in the market over the past 5 years with acquisitions and creating that profile, these gentlemen are predominantly in Canada, the U.S., Mexico, and really good parts of Europe. And that's a big factor. You know,
yep.
In a bad market, the one thing you get if you're in some of the more overseas areas in Africa, some tough places there, or, you know, bad parts of South America, you know, or challenging parts there, you tend to get a discount, and you tend to get, you know, a lot less beta, a lot less torque on the upside. So I look at the majors. I look at who's predominantly in Canada and the U.S. There's enough of them that are cheap enough that are worth buying, and those are the ones I think investors will do the best with as the first phase of this market coming back. I think once the market is evidently back and we're well into the bull market, all the other ones will do exceptionally well as well. As far as juniors go, and, you know, we have a new one here, it's our next company, we're in Canada, and we picked Canada, primarily the asset led us to the acquisition, but I've learned the value of being in a very safe geopolitical jurisdiction. And when you look at that,
yeah,
you look at investors, you take a fund manager in Toronto or in New York, and, you know, if they have $1 billion or $2 billion under management, and they want to make some investments into the juniors, where's the safest place to go for them first? You know, and that's exactly the mentality I think you'll see across the space. But come to the safest ones with the best assets, and then they'll work their way out in a rising market towards the Africas, towards the more challenging jurisdictions worldwide. So I'd say to answer it, the ones you want to follow, good management teams, if it's the juniors who've done it before, these people generally will do it again. And again, that's been our rule of thumb. Secondly is the jurisdiction has to be, you know, really safe. And that's where you're going to get the highest beta or the highest return on success in the stage of the market. And then thirdly, I think the general picture is just make sure they have money in the bank or a clean balance sheet or the ability to raise money. And that's a major factor as well that will protect investors if they're in a good shape that way.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you a funny story. I've asked that question so many times over the last 3 or 4 or 5 months. And if it's a money manager, if it's an analyst, they'll talk about, you know, the balance sheet and book value and that kind of stuff. But boy, if I ask somebody that's actually in the sector like you are, that's the answer I get, what you just gave.
It's
who's running the company. Have they had success in the past? And where the heck are they getting this stuff out of the ground? Because you don't want to be jacking around, you know, in some country where they could nationalize the mines on a moment's notice, that kind of stuff.
Yep. Or raise tax rates or royalty rates. And we've done business in Ghana, West Africa. We've done business in Mexico. We're doing business in Canada. And I saw a different climate of investor and returns and premiums on each one of those areas. And the most impressive for us so far has been Canada. And, you know, I never thought much of it in the past bull markets because everything kind of goes up and does very well if you have good projects, good management. But I'm feeling it firsthand here, you know, as we are in the middle of this turning market. And you know, we started before the market was turning, and it's great. It's really, really good to have.
Well, Ivan, let's take a couple of minutes and talk specifically about your new venture. As I mentioned when we started this, there's an ad in the right sidebar of the TFMR homepage here in March. I'd encourage everybody to click it. It says on the ad, the gold stock the pros are backing, so you can't miss it. Click that, and you'll find out more about Auren Resources. And as I mentioned, this is Ivan's third gold company. The other two have been smashing successes that he's built up and then was able to sell to larger companies. And now we're going to, I guess, do it again, huh, Ivan, in a sense? You've already got a number of big investors already on board, names that folks in this space already know, they know who they are. And you're in the business of acquiring high-quality gold assets for, you know, things that have just been beaten down like crazy over these last couple of years. And it sounds to me, if you know how to do this kind of thing, this could be quite the profitable venture. So tell everybody a little bit about your background, yourself, what you've done in the past, and how you expect that all to kind of be parlayed in Auren Resources.
Sure. Well, myself and my partner, Sean Wallace, is the CEO of Auren. I'm the chairman. We started our own company called Keegan Resources back in 2005. This was our first venture together to go and find a gold mine. And from zero, we found 5 million ounces of gold. And the stock went from 60 cents to about $9 per share, which was a great return for investors. And we'd raised quite a bit of money for that company, close to $400 million. And that company was almost bought out, but it didn't get bought out because the market turned. And we brought in one of the world's best mining teams to build an actual mine. The company is now called Asanko Gold. And the guy who's running it is Peter Breese, who had built Lion Ore. That was, you know, a company. It was a $7 billion takeover that went to $40-something per share prior to him joining Asanko. And so when you go out and look for these gold mines, you look for what's the best exit for my shareholders. And the number one answer is share price. Number two answer is liquidity at that share price.
Yep.
So the perfect thing to do is a sale. In the case when you don't sell it, although we delivered great returns on the share price, you have to build it. Asanko is now a 10 million ounce company, and it's pouring its first gold bars as we speak. So we've had the luxury of taking a company from completely zero exploration right through to discovery and to the building of a mine. On the back of Keegan Resources, as we got mature in the discovery of that mine, we went out to go do it again. And I was spearheading our second company called Caden Resources, where we went down to Mexico, and this was the shift from Ghana to Mexico, and we went to go look for another 5 million ounce. We call that world-class based on the volume of ounces, major gold deposit, gold mine. And in 2014, we had drilled about 54 holes. We had a very good look to there being a potential significant mine there, but there was no actual resource yet. So we sold something that had 54 holes for about $205 million. And that was a very big achievement for us because we've demonstrated to ourselves and to the market that we can actually make money for investors in good markets and in bad markets. And the share performance there was about 70 cents to 380 per share in the year, you know, prior to the buyout. And the quality of the asset's great. It's going to grow significantly. The guys who took it over, they're great miners and great explorers with a lot of experience in Mexico. But you kind of ask yourself, you know, Sean and I have asked ourselves, how can we do this better? You know, we have the most opportunistic bear market to possibly, you know, go and do this in, and what can we do better than what we've done before? getting a better starting asset is always the obvious thing to do, but the real mind finders, the real thing that we do is based off of the technical team that you have. So what Sean and I did was through our own main geologist who helped us find those first two mines, we went out and we hired these guys and added them to our team from a former Newmont geologist. And what's impressive about this, and I'll keep it real simple for the generalist, they're all specialists. They have 30, 40 years experience. They worked as a team worldwide for Newmont globally, and some of these gentlemen's resumes are extremely impressive for the amount of mines they've discovered. But it's kind of like when you go to the doctor and you're sick, you don't know what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You go see one specialist, he makes a prognosis, and he's trying to figure out what's wrong with you. That's your general junior mining exploration company. What we've assembled is a much bigger team. It's kind of like the Mayo Clinic. So when you go into the Mayo Clinic, if anyone's ever been there, you'll see seven different specialists, and they will all have different specialties. They will meet in a boardroom. They will discuss all their findings. Then they'll sit you down, and they'll give you a prognosis. And you got to think about the impact of having seven unique specialists to different parts of your body versus one trying to do all of those things at once.
Yeah.
The quality of what we get out of our technical team is going to be what leads us, and it already is, leading us to major world-class assets and major discoveries. The second point I'll make about that, and this resonated with me quite obviously when we were in my recent marketing trip in Toronto, New York. When you look at the quality of the team, you can go to our website and see in our presentation who they are. They're all former Newmont genius explorers, geochemists, geophysicists, all scientists. They are not looking for a good asset for a junior. Their pedigree of asset is something that would move the needle for a Newmont, a major. That's what they've done for 20, 30 years. The quality of the asset that we were able to acquire in Committee Bay is exactly that. It's actually, by and large, the best thing we've been able to start with, you know, compared to Keegan and Caden, which were great successes for us. And what's impressive about it is, you know, we have an entire greenstone belt. It's 300 kilometers long. Great, we have a big land package. What does that mean? Well, there's grade all over this. There's half ounce, there's 10 grams, there's 20 grams, there's kilos of gold, there's 200 grams, there's 180 grams. There's a theme in this project, and there's also a starting resource of 1.3 million ounces of about 8.2 grams per ton. The theme of this actual project is major multiple discoveries with very rich grades of gold. And what I have a hard time getting a handle on, and so do the technical guys, is the scalability. How many big deposits could occur here? The southwest corner, just south of us, about 100 kilometers south, the guys who bought our last company, Agnico Eagle, are having tremendous success in a new discovery called Amaruq. They've gone from 0 to 3.3 million ounces of 6 grams in the last 2 years in this market, and they're drilling. They're spending about $40 million this year. This is a great place to be because of the resource endowment. Mm-hmm. We think we're on to something that is unparalleled in our space. Quality of assets, quality of technical team, and we have a very good pedigree of shareholders, which you touched on before. I think that they're drawn in. A big part of our track record is obviously a factor for them, but the second part is the quality of the asset that came into the company. You know, it's very easy to understand if you have, you know, a background in investing into mining stocks. It's very easy to follow and understand grade and scalable, something that could be really big and really rich in grade. That's something that I think was easier for them to follow. The track record of us is a bonus, obviously, but it ensures them that we're going to manage it properly. I think our technical team, though, is our secret weapon. These guys are incredible in the work they're doing. And, you know, we like it, and we think it's the best thing by far that we've been part of. We bought a company that was worth $200 million for $18 million last year. So pennies on the dollar, 10 cents on the dollar.
Yep.
And the infrastructure they left behind would cost us about $25 million alone. Heavy equipment, drills that are up there, you know, camps, a runway to land a plane. Everything is there in place. And they had this project for 20 years, and they'd spent about $60 million on the exploration side. So if you look at that opportunity, the business deal we did was really, really good. Why did they lose it? What happened to them? Why do we have it now? They were a victim of the last bear market, the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
They ran out of money. They had too many shares out. Their share price was quite low, and they were fairly vulnerable to a bad market, and there was no clear sight to them or to anybody that the market would turn. So we came in, and we have the ability to raise money. We have a very deep technical team, but we're not looking to kind of redo what they did. We're looking for new major gold discoveries, and that's really where the return is for investors. You look back to a company called Aurelian. They found Fruta del Norte down in Ecuador, which was later bought by by Kinross and the now Lundin's own it. But the stock went from maybe 25 cents to $44 per share. You know, that is a discovery return. We are a discovery-oriented company. We have enough gold there ready to ensure us that there's going to be some kind of a success. But it has a look. The prize is so big that if we start to find what we think could be there, it would be a very, very significant success for us, for our investors.
I got to tell you, it's very exciting to me as well. I love the story. Your background of success gives confidence to everybody. Some of the investors that are on board, those folks know what they're doing, so they know where the places that they want to invest. And then you just give it everything else to where we all recognize the exceptionally low price of gold and think it's got tremendous upside from here, and the turn of the sector. I mean, it all kind of lines right up. You're off to a great start. And it sure seems like things are going in the right direction for your company. Again, it's Auryn Resources, A-U-R-Y-N. Here in the States, it trades under the symbol G-G, T as in Tom, C-F. But also trades up Vancouver, Toronto?
Yep, on the A-U-G as a symbol there, absolutely.
Okay, so our Canadian friends can look at that as well. I tell you, Ivan, it sounds very exciting, and I want to wish you the best of luck. Sounds like you got everything up and running, though, going in the right direction, and I hope that we can keep in touch as times change and as share prices go up and as the gold price goes up, and hopefully we can talk more about how things are changing in the future and how things are going.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. I'll just make one last comment, and
sure.
I'll say this with, you know, just summarizing everything we spoke about from the point of the gold market, the timing of what's happening, the turn that, you know, I'd argue with anybody that it's, and I don't think too many people would contest it, but we have some big plans, and shareholders can expect some very big things from us. We are doing the best we've done out of two previous companies on the best asset we've had. So we hold a very high regard of what we're going to do with this company based off the assets and the technical team we're able to build. So, yeah. You can expect some very big things from us going forward.
Again, I encourage everybody to click that ad on the right side of the page. It says the gold stock, the pros are back, and give more information there on Ivan and his company. And Ivan, again, I just want to wish you the best. Thanks for taking some time to visit with me today.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it, Craig.
Good luck up there. Thanks, Ivan.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.